writing about immigrants and the children of immigrants right now, you know, we live in a time where so many are either stereotyped or turned into statistics. And my hope is with the novel, it'll give readers a chance to enter this vibrant world that they may not know much about and sort of begin to understand the histories, ambitions, and dreams of why people come to this country.
That's Vanessa Hua, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Vanessa Hua is a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle and the author of a short story collection, Deceit and Other Possibilities. For two decades, she's been writing about Asia and the diaspora in journalism and in fiction. She joins us to talk about her novel, A River of Stars. Vanessa, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
What inspired this novel?
I was living in Southern California, pregnant with my twin sons, when I began hearing about maternity tourism centers or these maternity hotels. What was happening was in these suburban homes in Los Angeles, pregnant women were coming and going. The trash cans were stacked high with diapers and formula, and the neighbors were baffled. Why were all these pregnant women coming here? It sounded like a brothel in reverse. And it turned out they were coming here, so, you know, about a month before giving birth so that their children could end up with U.S. citizenship. And it just fascinated me because being pregnant is really one of the most vulnerable times in a woman's life. But to be so far from friends and family, I began thinking about what American citizenship meant for them and for their children.
Give us an overview of this novel. What are readers going to find here?
Well, when people have asked me about it, I say it's a pregnant Thelma and Louise. So it involves feisty, independent woman Scarlett Chen, who is sent to one of these centers by her married lover. And when he betrays her, she takes off with a teenage pregnant stowaway in tow, someone else from the maternity hotel. And they go on a road trip and they end up in San Francisco's Chinatown. And they figure out a way to form a makeshift family and to build a life for them and their children.
But it's not quite that simple because that ex-lover who betrayed her is on her trail.
Yes, yes. Nothing ever goes according to plan. And of course, beyond that, there's also just the struggles of what does it mean to become a mother, the physical changes, and in a new country where you're still learning the language and understanding the systems and figuring out how to make a living when you're still exhausted from giving birth.
You have covered many of the issues you fictionalize in this book in your nonfiction work as well. So let's talk about a few of those things. What are some of the real-world issues that this novel explores?
Sure. For one thing, the one-child policy in China and its fallout and consequences over the decades. It was instituted in 1979, and the policy was just relaxed in 2015, more recently, because to enforce the policy, the Chinese government would do things like forced sterilization and forced abortion and, you know, really horrific stuff. But they began to realize as the country economically developed that women already were deciding to have fewer children. And now there's a bit of a demographic time bomb because there's an aging population in China, but not enough young people sort of paying into the economy. But it relates to my character, Scarlett Chen, because her mother, who is widowed, is forced to work at one of these family planning clinics. And what Scarlett witnesses really shapes her thoughts on having children and why she decides to leave the village as a teenager to work in the factories in the city, but really to build a life different than her mother's. Also, just even writing about immigrants and the children of immigrants right now, you know, we live in a time where so many are either stereotyped or turned into statistics. And my hope is with the novel, it'll give readers a chance to enter this vibrant world that they may not know much about and sort of begin to understand the histories, ambitions, and dreams of why people come to this country.
Your character, Charlotte Chen, is in the United States because she wants to give birth here so that her child will have U.S. citizenship. What does your novel have to say about the political controversy around what is being referred to as anchor babies?
I mean, I think what's unusual makes for great fiction and shouldn't determine national policy. It is true this trend is still happening, not only in the Chinese community. I've heard Russian families will do it in Miami and or on an ad hoc basis. But, you know, these are just a few hundred or thousand. You know, this is not a true reflection of the whole state of how people immigrate here. But I did want to kind of show that there are different ways that people get here. I mean, I think the narrative right now is that immigration comes only from the southern border. It's all on foot. And that's why we need to build a wall. When in fact, like my main character, most people come in legally on visas and they may end up overstaying them. That's 40% to two-thirds of the undocumented population comes in on valid visas. But in terms of the whole anchor baby debate, I really do think the 14th Amendment is the bedrock of this country. This pathway to citizenship is so important, attracting the best and brightest around the world. If you have people come here, you can't cut them off from their families that they come from. So birthright citizenship is so important for this country because it causes people to build roots and then, you know, family reunification or what this administration is calling chain migration, again, is also important because, you know, this is what really builds strong family ties in this country.
What does your novel have to say about Asian American culture, specifically in the San Francisco area?
Well, San Francisco's Chinatown is the oldest in the U.S., so there's a beautiful sense of history when you walk the streets. But yet it's also, you know, there's a really pulsing sense of vitality as you go around because of, you know, the newcomers who are continually arriving and sort of bringing their energy and their hopes and their striving to the neighborhood. And while it's a huge tourist attraction, you see people with giant cameras taking photos of the shops or stopping in for dim sum. That's just the ground level. But if you look up, that's where you see clothes hanging in the window. That's when you realize that people live in this neighborhood. It's like not just a tourist attraction, it's a living, breathing place. So I think one thing that is reflected in my novel, and it's just really important to understand about Asian America, is just the vast diversity even within our community, that we're not a monolith, that there is no one immigration narrative. It's just so important to realize that because, again, you realize that when, you know, immigrants get dehumanized, it's when you think they only have one story. And really, whether it's in fiction or in journalism, it's so important to hear about the sort of multitude of our stories.
One of the things you've covered in your nonfiction as well is the diaspora of people from China. Tell us a little bit more about what's happening there on a global scale.
There are some 60 million Chinese who live outside of China, many in Asia. And I've been to Latin America and written about Chinese communities there, and also in the U.S., of which my own family is part of that diaspora. My parents came here as grad students in the Midwest in the 1960s, my dad to Iowa, my mom to Chicago. And, you know, it's just there's a sense of history. You know, Chinese immigration has been coming to the U.S., since the days of the gold rush and, you know, continues today with people coming to, you know, study in grad school or to found startups in Silicon Valley. I mean, I think what's interesting now is that there is this back and forth that people might go, one generation comes here, but then their children might go back to Asia for opportunities in business or education or entertainment. And I think that bridge the diaspora forms really strengthens both countries, both the U.S. and China.
Vanessa, there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day with one of the characters in your novel, who would it be and why?
Well, I do adore my main character, Scarlett Chen, but the friendship that she forms with Daisy, the feisty teenager, I would love to be with Daisy. I mean, Daisy is really unexpected. She knows chemistry, so there's a whole scene with fireballs and like a fire she builds with these colored gels. So I think Daisy Chen, the sidekick who kind of becomes very important to Scarlett and hopefully to the readers as well.
Vanessa, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Vanessa Hua's novel is A River of Stars. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.